Welcome back to the second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only.
Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with your host, Pete Talbot, along with Dr. Samara Humat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you an opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here's your host of Leading Edge Medicine, Pete Talbot.
I've said this before.
Then don't say it again.
It's like my wife. I love you. I told you once 30 years ago. Should be enough. Hey, we are glad you are with us. This is our number two of Leading Edge Medicine. What am I talking about? 30 years ago. We've been married 51 years here.
Sure. Well, so is only 21 years into the marriage. She actually said, I love you.
So. I begged her to say, I love you. Anyway. Oh, gosh.
Do you remember Fiddler on the Roof?
Of course.
And Golda asked Tevye. No, Tevye asked Golda,
yes.
Do you love me?
Yes.
You know?
And yes. Yeah. I love that portion.
Yes, right, where it's, you know, for 25 years, I've cooked your food, I've cleaned your house,
right.
I've cleaned your clothes. If that isn't love, then what is?
Yes. But what if your wife hasn't done any of those things?
Pete is going to be afraid to go home after this show.
Ouch.
He's
ouch,
going to get ouch. Hurt when he gets there.
You know, I was going to say, you were talking during the last hour. I almost piped up, but it would have been tacky and my wife would have killed me, so she'll kill me now. You're talking about desire and declining
yes.
with age. Well, we were talking about the lady with osteoporosis. Well, it's gone now. Well, you know, I'm 71, and I hate to say it, but I'm as interested in my wife as I think I've ever been, and I'm 71.
Yes.
And that is a good thing, and that is a very good
assuming
thing.
Your wife wants you to be interested.
This has to stop.
I'm staying out of this. You guys,
right.
Don't look at me. I'm out of this.
Well, it's just so sad because we have so many people. What are the key what are the top, let's say, three or four reasons people come to longevity? They have insurance. They have their primary care physicians, but they wake up and realize not enough. They need longevity.
Fatigue.
What are the three or four reasons?
Fatigue.
Okay.
Weight. Loss of sexuality. And what were the other? Would it be pain or cognition? Which
I think memory.
Yeah, probably
more,
probably
because,
memory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the top three or four.
Yeah, I'd say, yeah.
And different people have different priorities there.
Different mixes, yes.
They're usually in the mix.
Yeah, because fatigue, people that are just tired and don't have the energy to do what they're used to doing.
Of course.
And the fact that the pounds are just piling up and they can't seem to get rid of their weight, that's another good reason people come see us. Sexuality in men and women.
Is that equally about, you suppose?
Yeah, probably. There's a mix, though. It's different between men and women. With men, it's difficulty with performance. They have the desire, but their physical performance is down. With women, it's frequently the decrease in desire. Mm-hmm. Because a woman can perform whether she really wants to or not. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's more receptive. Mm-hmm. Doesn't require an erection. So for women, it tends to be a loss of desire. For men, it tends to be a decrease in performance.
Yeah.
And then cognition, memory issues are a big one, too.
So
those four.
those four. And we keep talking about, I call them little slivers of opportunity, of things of that are available and where we help our patients. It's just so smart. It's just so smart to be a patient at Longevity, which is why we have patients that have been here since day one, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was at dinner the other night and met some new people. And after about an hour or so, the guy across the table from me and said, I know we don't know each other, but Pete, I've been a patient at Longevity for 17 years. We don't know what we would have done without Longevity. And I think he was in his mid-70s, and he looked great and what have you. And the guy next to him said, oh, I've heard about Longevity, and the guy says, oh, boy, So we get a lot of referrals.
Friends telling friends, yes.
Friends telling friends. In fact, the longer we go, the more that happens. So, again, grab one of those free health analysis appointments. If you just tuned in, I opened up through through the first week of October. So now we have, I think, like 10 or 15 appointments available, mostly very end of September and now early October for the free health analysis appointments. And grab one, for crying out loud, grab one. We give you the two free tests. We're also offering you the free supplements, $100 of free supplements, or the two fitness books and the fitness band. So enough about that for right
someone
now.
Is waiting from Castle Rock, and they've been waiting a long time. So let's get to them.
I got carried away because
you did.
It was
you get carried away a lot
stuff. And you thank me for it privately every day of the week. So
because if you don't sell, we don't have a clinic.
That's right. So let's go to Pat in Castle Rock.
Hello, Pat.
Thanks for holding.
Hello. Well, thank you. Yeah, I need to go Longevity. I'm so tired I forgot the question.
Right. Well, Castle Rock, I was telling the guys during the last break, Castle Rock was the subject of a horror movie several years ago. Did you know that? There was a horror movie in which, I don't know if Castle Rock's really got a prison or not, but in the movie, there was a prison at Castle Rock, and the devil was kept captive in the basement of the prison. And he got out and started terrorizing Castle. Anyway, that's what Castle Rock means to me. Yes.
Anyway.
There's probably not really a prison there at all, much less a devil trapped in the basement. But anyway, I just thought I'd bring that up.
Jeez. How can we help you, Pat?
Well, I had a question on, I went back to my PCP after a year, but I had found out that they went to a different place, but they didn't let me know. So I decided to go to where my wife goes, which is actually not that far away from me, but they use a different lab for their blood work. They use LabCorp. For the life of me, I can't remember the name of the other one. I just know it had a red and black logo up on the left side, but I don't remember the name of it. Anyway, I asked for different tests. I should be at a longevity clinic because, that's what your forte is measuring.
It is, yep.
But anyway, one of the ones I want to have checked was my vitamin D. Now, every time that I'd have my blood checked, which would be every 6 months when I went to the other place, it'd always be 70 to 100. And so I got my, I take around 10,000 IUs a day.
Okay, and that explains that level.
But when I went to LabCorp, or the one at LabCorp, I came back at 51. And so I'm wondering, is there some sort of, did they measure it differently? Is there a reason possibly for the discrepancy from the lab standpoint? Or is my body utilizing the vitamin D more that it's drawing its levels down? Like for example, maybe with more exposure to disease, or maybe my body's handling something that I don't know about that requires more vitamin D.
Okay, well, I can think of several possibilities. Obviously, I wasn't there in the lab. I don't know exactly what their measurements, but let me give you a few possibilities. Okay. First of all, LabCorp is a bigger, they're the second largest laboratory in the world. Quest Diagnostics is the biggest. LabCorp is the second largest. So they're a big, big international corporation. They generally do very good work. In fact, we contract with them to manage our lab. So, you know, so, and when I buy lab equipment, I buy the same equipment that LabCorp uses. So that, because I figure if it's good enough for them, it's good enough for my folks. So there are a variety of different devices and machines that you can use to measure almost any analyte. And that includes vitamin D. 25-hydroxy vitamin D is what we're actually measuring. There are multiple Yep. forms of vitamin D, and depending on which form they're measuring, will give you different values. But assuming they're measuring 25-hydroxy vitamin D.
It is.
The LabCorp normal range usually runs from somewhere in the low 20s up to about 100 or 110, and above that they tag as toxic range. So your, you know, 70 to 100 fits the dose you've been taking pretty well. So to have you suddenly drop to 50 is a bit of a surprise, but all I would do about it is repeat the test. Because nothing done to or by human beings is perfect, and that includes laboratory equipment. You know, the analyzer runs that through a multi-channel analyzer, and they're doing probably 100 vitamin Ds in a row. The machine just spits them out. It's bing, 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 and in a matter of 15 minutes, they got 100 tests out. Once in a while, deep in the bowels of that machine, there's a little tiny air bubble or a little bit of extra fluid that gets in somewhere, and you get an aberrant number. And it just happens. And it doesn't matter how good the lab is and how conscientious the techs are. It's just the variation that is inherent in things being done by people and machines designed by people. So when I get a sudden laboratory value that doesn't make good sense and I don't see a good reason for it and it doesn't fit a change in the patient, the first thing I do is just repeat the test and see if it comes out in the same range a second time. Okay.
I got a real quick question in regards sure. also from this, too, because I was a little bit trepidatious about taking a PSA, because, in fact, I haven't had one for about 8 years, and the last time I took one, it was like, it was 8 years ago, and it was 2.5 or 2.6.
Okay.
So I'm, like, in my mid-60s, so I was talking to the guy about it, and he said, oh, you should take it. And, you know, number one, do you... still take yours, and do you advise that to your patients? And I was a little bit surprised because when mine came back, it came back 1.3, which was a pleasant
surprise.
Which is good.
Yeah.
So basically, what is your view on the PSA? Do you think it's okay. a useful test anymore?
It is a useful test, but it's not diagnostic for prostate cancer. There's two different things going on.
It's just a screening test, basically.
Yes, it's a screening test. It tells us if your PSA is rising rapidly, it tells us there's increased metabolic activity in the prostate. It can be because there is more prostate tissue, or it can be because something has increased the metabolism within that. And if it's rising fast, you want to look closer and find out why there's increased metabolic activity. And it can be an infection, which is far more common than prostate cancer, or it can be a prostate cancer, or it can just be benign prostatic hypertrophy, especially over an 8-year period. It sounds to me as though what's happening with you is you're now a man in his 60s. I'm going to bet that the hormones that stimulate prostate tissue are decreasing. You probably lowered your testosterone and your DHEA, and your prostate is less metabolically active than it was, and so your PSA has dropped a bit. You know, that's not a shock or a surprise. And I never worry much about it dropping. I worry if I see a rapid rise, because one of the things that can cause a rapid rise is the growth of a tumor. And if there's a cancer that is growing rapidly in the prostate, then you'll get a rapid rise in PSA.
Well, would there be any indication at all? I know that I've heard that even with low PSA, a person can have cancer. So,
yes, you can.
I'm just wondering if you saw somebody at 1.3 or even in the ones, do you
I don't
you
get excited
any
about
more
it.
Screen?
No.
Pardon?
No, I don't.
No, no, especially if there's no symptoms and there's no history to be worried about anything. We don't send them for any further screening.
No. You know, and as for your other, yes, I do check my PSA periodically.
Yeah.
You know, at least annually and probably twice that, actually.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm just picky about how my body runs, and I want to keep it as fine-tuned as I can.
So the United States Task Force basically recommended that over 75, you can stop measuring PSA levels.
Although we don't.
We don't, yeah. Our patients want to know, and because we're managing their care, we are treating them actively. We measure them frequently.
Yeah. See, the statistically, if you're over 75 and you get a prostate cancer, you are statistically more likely to die of heart disease or stroke than you are of prostate cancer. So the question is, why bother measuring it if they're going to die of something else anyway? We differ with that philosophy. We say, wait a minute, our goal is to make our patients as strong, fast, lean, smart, and sexy as possible, as long in life as possible. We don't give up just because they're 75 or 80 or 85 or 90. You know, we plan to keep our people as robust as we can for as long as we can, so we continue to do these screening tests beyond what the national standards are.
Thank you very much. I appreciate all your information.
You're welcome,
sir.
You
betcha, Pat. We appreciate the call from Castle Rock, where the devil lives. In the prison basement.
In the prison basement. Yeah, and there's probably not really a prison there at all.
That's all right. That's all
drama.
Right. Hey, listen, beautiful you.
Yeah.
That's your show.
Yeah.
It's this afternoon at 1 o'clock. We're gonna talk about that. We're gonna take like 3 minutes when we come back from the break and talk about beautiful you. And that is hosted by beautiful you, Dr. Samira Human. We'll be right back. Past the hour. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine. I'm Pete Talbot. I've got two doctors in the studio with me. Dr. Jerry Mixon, the founder, Chief Medical Officer of Longevity Medical Clinic, and the Assistant Medical Director, Dr. Samira Umat. And but about 5 or 6 weeks ago, six to be exact, we started a new show called Beautiful You. It's sponsored by Bella Medica, which is our aesthetic division at Longevity. We've had it for, Jerry, can you remember when we started Bella Medica?
Is this a memory test?
Yes, apparently it is. Are you a patient at Longevity or
well,
not?
Well, since none of us really know, you'll pass no matter what you say.
That's true. That's true. You, any number I give, you guys are going to nod for. So, yes, it was 9 years, 6 months, and 4 years.
No, now you failed because I've been here 10 years. So it has to be more than 10.
Anyway, doesn't matter. We have always serviced, in essence, our longevity patients. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of longevity patients, obviously. And but we made a decision, what was it, Jerry, about a year or so ago to get serious about Bella Medica, expanded.
It's kind of been our stepchild.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we did some aesthetics, some Botox and some IPL and some fractional lasers.
Hair removal,
that sort of thing. But we decided to really kind of kick it into high gear. And so, yeah, we've just gone out and, was it 2 years ago or so, I bought the
Icon,
the Icon fractional laser IPL combined device. And then this year I just went out and bought four more really fancy, expensive machines. And now we got to figure out how to pay for them. So
that's right.
I bought them. We got to figure out how to pay for them. I love it.
Right. Then it's we.
That's right. I write the checks. It's up to you guys to see to it I don't go broke.
So here's the deal. We started the it's a new
you
radio.
Fell into that one.
I did. Stumble bumble.
So Bella Medica, which is the name of our aesthetics division, we started a new radio show.
That's right.
It's called Beautiful You, and it features Dr. Samira Humet, because you're sort of the medical doctor in charge of Bella Medica and all of the various services. And so you can listen to Beautiful You every Saturday afternoon from 1 to 2.
Yeah, I mean, it's been such a wonderful journey. And like you said, you know, Bella Medica has been our stepchild, and we haven't talked about it much. And over the years, it's kind of just kind of moved along. But it's just a joy whenever I see those patients, because whatever they do is voluntary. It's not like, you know, in our longevity practice, which is also voluntary, but they want to be better. Here, it's their outside appearance. So it's completes that full circle, inside and out, beauty come full circle. They want that look that makes them look rested, relaxed, more youthful. The lines are gone. The marks are gone. And just this week I had, and he's just a beautiful, you know, people that I've seen earlier that had treatment and came back in a month later for more treatment. And I was looking at the before and after pictures and sharing with them. It was just such a huge transformation. Mm-hmm. And my patient said, you know, it's just like as she walks by the mirror, she just smiles because she is looking at a different version of herself.
Well, you know, we started Bella Medica really as an adjunct to Longevity Medical. When I started Longevity Medical, the goal was not looks. The goal was function.
Yes.
I want them stronger, faster, leaner, smarter, and sexier.
Mm-hmm.
But it turns out that when you're feeling stronger, faster, leaner, smarter, and you're feeling sexier, you want to look sexier. Okay. You want to look better.
Yeah.
And so we started the Bella Medica for our own patients primarily. We didn't advertise it much because mm-hmm. it was mostly for the people in the clinic.
Virtually none.
Yeah.
No advertising.
You know, it's just that now we've said, hey, let's kick this into high gear. Offer it not just to the patients, but to other people that want to look better.
Yeah.
And, you know, and these new devices, you know, you can remove tattoos.
Yes.
Because an enormous number of people got tattoos when they were young.
Yep.
And now the tattoo is fading and looking kind of yucky.
Yeah.
And they're saying, gee, I'd like to get rid of that.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
Or a butterfly on their ankle is not exactly what they want right
now. No, that's right. Yeah. Or the big lightning bolt across the forehead. That's really got to go.
Forehead.
Yeah. So we've got the machines that'll remove tattoos. We've got devices that will smooth out wrinkles.
The same scars can go away. The same machine that will remove tattoos will also do some skin tightening and will decrease pigment. So not only the pigment from the tattoo, but age spots, blood mm-hmm. vessels and stuff can also be smooth. And the beauty about that, Jerry, is that it can do darker skin as well as lighter skin. For lighter skin, lasers have been around forever. They've been safe for them to use. But in darker skin, lasers can cause problems in hyperpigmentation.
Yes. But now, because we've got so many people that are Indian, that are Asian, that are Hispanic, that are mixed race here,
mm-hmm.
that are getting darker skin.
Yeah.
And so we wanted to get in some of the newest cutting edge stuff.
To help them out.
That will remove age spots and lesions even on darker skin.
Right. Because there's a need. People are asking for it. And then we didn't have the best. I mean, Icon will do a lot, but it couldn't do what these machines do.
But it was designed primarily for Caucasians.
Yeah.
You know, and we've got a lot of non-Caucasians here now that we need, you know, that need the same service deserve the same service that the pale faces get.
That's right.
So,
you know. Some incredible advantages to these new lasers. And Jerry, you know, for years we've been saying, and actually our patients have been saying at Longevity, that they look and feel and function better now than they did 5, 10, 15 years ago. Well, that's the same case with how you look.
Yeah.
With how you look. It sounds dramatic, but really, you can look better this next year,
mm-hmm.
younger, fresher, more vibrant.
Absolutely.
Than you did 5 years
Absolutely.
Ago.
Absolutely. And
it's
in the Beautiful You show, I explained the pillars of treatment. But with the new, let's maybe just finish up talking about the other three lasers
Sure.
So where one of them is for tattoo removal and for darker skin mm-hmm. and removes pigment also, the other one that helps with fat, so it's not for weight loss.
It's for spot fat reduction.
Yeah,
it's like if you've got love handles.
Yes.
Or if you've just got that last little belly sag down below your belly button that just won't go away.
Right.
We can actually just kill that fat.
That's right.
Make it dissolve and go away or get rid of those little love handles.
That's right. Or under the chin.
Under the chin. Or the bra strap areas,
you
know.
Your tush even.
Yeah, thighs, inner and outer thighs. Yeah.
We can recontour your tush, give it a little more shape.
Yeah. So that will basically a 25-minute treatment. The lasers have improved dramatically so that you don't have to be in there for a very long time. In 25 minutes of treatment time, you can really be done. And the beauty about it is that it uses heat and the surface of the skin remains cool, but the heat damages the fat cells, and then those fat cells are excreted by your lymphatic system over the course of 3 to 4 months.
Yeah, it's a specially tuned laser that actually focuses about a centimeter below the surface of the skin. Mm-hmm. So it's heating down deep, but not up on the surface.
Not on the skin.
Okay. More surfaces.
So with that, I like the other laser then. Thank you for getting that one. That to me actually is more, personable because of the impact that it has on a lot of my patients. It's skin tightening. So it's radio frequency. And with that heat of the radio frequency, you can get some skin tightening. So once you do the spot fat removal, you can do the tightening in that area, or if you have stretch marks, or you've had a pregnancy, you now have skin laxity, and later on you want to do something about it now, you can get that skin tightness in different parts of the body. You can do it on the face, on your arms, on your abdomen, wherever you want. But for me, because I treat our patients in the clinic, where I hear a lot about vaginal symptoms, vaginal laxity, stress incontinence, and there's really nothing medically unless you want to do surgery. I'm really curious, and I've been so happy that we have the radio frequency treatment for a little bit of tightness for that.
Yeah, there's now a special probe that actually goes in the vagina.
Yes.
To snug up the vaginal walls.
That's right.
Which, having babies is tough on female plumbing.
Yeah.
We guys get the pleasure, the girls get all the pain. And so this actually can snug things up there for a while. So it's a nice development.
Yeah. So, and again, technology has improved to allow us to offer that. And then the last one is our big new one for laser hair removal for all skin types, light and dark. Mm-hmm. And the beauty about it is that a 3-hour treatment time is now reduced to a little over 1 hour.
Yeah.
And so you can do it really fast because it has...
Guys that have a whole back that needs to be done, or women who want their entire leg, used to be a very long, slow, laborious process, and now this new device just zips right through it.
Yeah, we have people who come in, Jerry, for the whole body, so women who want to do their face, underarms, arms, legs, so now we can zip through this in an hour, where previously we would book 2 to 3 hours, depending upon their size.
Yeah.
And again, as I mentioned, for light as well as dark skin people.
Mm-hmm. That's huge.
That is
huge.
I mean, that all just what you said right there.
Yeah.
And the fact that we've cut the time in half because these lasers are the very latest, truly, literally the very latest, to be able to cut the time in half.
By two-thirds. It's using dual wavelengths and different frequencies and different sizes of the head so that she can change out what area, if it's the underarms, a smaller size, if it's the back, a larger size, so we can zip through areas much faster. And remember, that means less time for you, but also less pain. I mean, some of these treatments will hurt, so people know this, so you're now in and out much faster.
And the one thing that we talked about on one of the previous shows, but I'll mention it now, when a person looks better, I think it affects, and I think there's science to prove this, it actually helps them feel better. It
certainly impacts their mood dramatically. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So lots of reasons to listen to Beautiful You with Dr. Samira Umat every Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock. More importantly, I can announce this now. It'll be announced at 1 o'clock officially this afternoon. But it's sort of part of our re-grand opening, our expansion, ta-da, of Bella Medica. Is that we are now offering appointments starting in October, and you can make your appointment, and we are offering $100 of free skin care products. Now, these are not the kind of products that you get down at Walgreens.
Mm-hmm.
God bless them. They have nice products there. But these are really
professional grade
products like Skin Medica, Latisse, Jan Marini, Image. Uh-huh. I mean, these are quality products. And most people don't understand the difference mm-hmm. between just the regular humdrum stuff and the real premium skincare products, because they've just never had access to them, really. And so as a little extra incentive to mm-hmm. become a part of what we're doing at Bella Medica and our re-grand opening after 15, 16, 17 years, whatever it's been, we're offering $100 of products, absolutely no strings attached. But the same thing goes. If you don't measure, you don't know. You've heard that about longevity? Same thing with Bella Medica. We have what we call a beautiful new you consultation, and it's free. Kind of head to toe, really, actually, when you look at it, depending on what you're interested in. So if you would like to make an appointment, very soon, in fact, we've already got the new toll-free number, but it isn't functioning yet. I understand it'll be another week or so. But in the meantime, you can use our main longevity toll-free number, and there's a Bella Medica extension there. You just call for an appointment at 866-86-YOUNG. 866-86-YOUNG. Also, in a couple of weeks, you'll be able to make your appointments online for these free, beautiful, new you consultations. But for right now, you got to do it by calling in at 866-86-YOUNG. 866-86-YOUNG. I hope you can do it now. Actually, our biggest problem, again, only temporarily, is we don't have that many appointments available, but we do. They're there. And so you just call 866-86-YOUNG, and we will get you in there. And you can get the free skincare products, too. Pretty cool. Let's go to a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Art in Duval. He has a question about fasting and glucose. And then Neil from Kenmore has a question about blood thinners. And Lois from West Seattle has a question, apparently has a cyst on her ovaries and needs to know about that. We've got one line open. Why don't you grab it? Give us a call at 800-465-8770. Again, don't forget, beautiful you, today, 1 o'clock, right here on 770 KTTH. 2020. Alrighty, you know, I just got a message from our call screener at KTTH with another caller who just asked if I could repeat the email address from last week that I mentioned so they could send an application to become an employee at Longevity. And I'm really glad this happened, because as you have imagined, if you've been listening, Longevity is continuing to grow. It's just the most incredible thing. We're very thankful, very encouraged, and we are growing. And we need new reception people. We need new MAs, medical assistants. Even another doctor or two would probably be a good idea. So if you would like to consider becoming an employee at Longevity Medical Clinic, we'd love to have you reach out. And I believe I'm doing this from memory, so let me just check it. But I believe it's HR@longevitymedicalclinic.com, right? Yes, right. HR@longevitymedicalclinic.com. So just go ahead and email, and you start the communication process that way. We would love to have you. It is an incredible place to work, knowing that we literally – I know this sounds just so silly because you hear it all the time, but at least you hear it here. If you want to be a part of helping people in the aging process so they can become stronger, leaner, faster, smarter, and sexier, that's a very fulfilling job. I'm telling you, it's very exciting. You'll love it at Longevity. So there you go. HR@longevitymedicalclinic.com. All right, let's go to Duval and talk to Art. Art, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
How can
I help you, sir?
I've been monitoring my glucose for, oh, 4 or 5 years, and not for any other reason that I inherited from giving hospice to my mom that she had one, and just monitoring health. And I've noticed that, for the past 6 months, and I've always fasted, but for the past 6 months, I can fast for 12 hours, 15 hours, just water and maybe some vitamins once in a while, and my glucose will skyrocket 300, 400, even 500. And I'm just kind of stunned at what the heck is going on here.
Is the glucose meter working well?
Yeah.
Pardon me, I didn't hear that.
Is the glucose meter working properly, is what she's asking.
I've got about three different batches of glucose strips, and I was kind of suspicious of them. They do say that they're past expiration date, but between the three different batches, I've selected different ones. And then also I've noticed I can read 400 on my left hand and read 200 on my right.
No, there's something seriously amiss there. You're getting erroneous readings. Yeah.
From the same batch, even.
Yeah, that makes no sense at all.
And I mean, inflammation can sometimes, when it gets in the 400s and such, my inflammation, my old injuries show up. I mean, I've dislocated hips and shoulders before, and I mean, put it in a sling and get a cane almost. So your pancreas, isn't that generate insulin?
Yes.
To change the glucose so that it can be absorbed and then generated into proteins. What triggers the pancreas to adjust the insulin?
Well, there's a series of feedback loops. But basically, rising sugar is a direct stimulant for the beta cells in the pancreas to start kicking out insulin. But, you know, depending on your weight and your activity and your muscle mass, can have a big impact on how much insulin requires to drive.
I'm 6'2", 245. I repair heavy machinery. Relatively strong, but I do notice I'm putting on soft weight. And I, no matter what kind of exercise I do, I mean, I'm losing muscle mass. So I understand it's easier for the body to absorb muscle than it is, or to use muscle as energy than it is to use fat. And when the glucose levels are so high and your pancreas doesn't supply enough insulin to change the glucose into something it can absorb, will it store it and make fat?
Well, yes, and the high insulin shifts your metabolism towards fat.
Right, and you didn't tell us whether you're diabetic or not.
I'm not. I've never been diabetic. In the past, I fasted, seen my numbers drop like in the 20s and 30s. When I was doing hospice for my mom, I just didn't want to eat. I mean, all I wanted to do was take care of her, and we had no desire to eat, never hungry, and inadvertently test my glucose once in a while, and I've seen it as far as 21 and 32.
Wow. See, those are way too low. Most people get
that was
fainty. But, you know, but these 2 and 400, I mean, if those are anywhere near accurate, you are an overt diabetic. So I would start by throwing away those old, outdated test strips and buy a new batch. And if you're still getting weird readings, I'd get in to see your physician, get a fasting blood sugar, also get a hemoglobin A1C. The A1C will tell you what your sugar has averaged over the last 3 to 4 months. It won't give you a peak or a value or a valley, but it will give you the average number.
And that's what you guys do, right?
We do that along with the other. We do fasting sugars and we do A1C. And in new patients, we do a stimulated insulin and glucose where we give you 75 grams of sugar.
See what happens.
And 30 minutes later, we check your insulin and your glucose, see how high your glucose goes, but also how much insulin you had to produce to maintain that value. So
24-hour fasting prior to your visit or what?
5 or 6 hours is adequate. You don't need 24.
So whatever it needs, whatever it takes. But yeah, I mean, I can go 12, 14 hours, not eat anything and eat just very, my food intake, I've dropped it down to basically a meal a day, and I'm under 2,000 calories a day, and I'm still, like, I got up this morning, hadn't eaten for 14 hours, checked the glucose level, and it was 332.
No, there's something seriously amiss here. You are either a raging diabetic that needs intervention right now, or your testing is way off, one or the other.
Yeah, I mean, I was stunned when I saw that 500 pop up the other day. I was world.
The 200 and 300 scare the bejabbers out of me. So again, you've got to get some accurate answers. And I'd see your physician, get these tests done.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome, sir. Bye bye.
Hey, you bet, Art. That's good. Hey, let's go to a break. We'll be right smack dab on time here at 9:45. And then we'll have time for another couple of calls when we come back. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine, and you'll be listening to Neil from Kenmore. He has a question about blood thinners as soon as we come back. And then we'll try to get to another call after that. We've got one about CPAP machines. Okay. And then... So, hey, don't go far. We will be right back. Just having a nice time here.
40% on Thursday. Talk about the chances of rain.
We forgot that we have a radio show to do. Here.
Oh, yes.
Interesting. Right. Yeah. Let us go to Neil in Kenmore. Hey, Neil, thanks for calling.
Oh, good morning. Thank you.
Good morning, sir.
I'd like to take Relief Factor, but I am on blood thinners, and I was wondering if that would be okay if I do that.
Depends on the dose you take. Which blood thinners are you on to start with?
Eliquist or 75 milligram, and then a low-dose aspirin, and I don't know if this applies, but simvastatin, a 10 milligram.
Okay. Now, those should not cause any problems with the Relief Factor. You know, if you're on Eliquist, high doses, if you're taking, you know, 3 or 4 packets a day, you might get some increased bleeding times. But on the drugs you're on shouldn't cause any problems.
Okay. Yeah, I want to be a little bit careful. I'm getting into the senior area.
Yeah. Happens to us, you know, it's... One of the discouraging things in life is when you realize, you know, you've always heard, your choices are you either get old or die young. And it's when you realize you've lived too long to die young. And,
you know, that means you made it.
You know, it means your choices are now die old or older. But that's about it. All right.
I am sure thankful for your program.
Well, thank you, sir. Thank
wonderful
you.
Information all the time.
All right. Well, we have a lot of fun doing it, as you can probably tell.
We do. We all put up with each other, right?
That's right.
Well, you're easy to take care of.
Well, thank
I'm
you.
Looking, I'm looking at Samira. Certainly not at him. All right. Thank you, Neil.
No you respect. Deserve that. You deserve no that respect today, at by all. The way.
Because he's always hammering me. Gosh, like 5
That's
times
right.
today already. So
yeah.
Let's go to West Seattle.
That Castle Rock story? My goodness. Okay.
Yeah, I said he was the devil in the prison.
That's right. Yeah, locked in the basement of the prison. It's a good thing there's no prison there. All right.
Let us go to Lois in West Seattle.
Save Hi, us, Lois. Save us.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, ma'am.
About a year and a half ago, I was vaginally spotting. I went to see my gynecologist. She took a ultrasound, and it seems I have a couple of cysts on both ovaries. She wanted to do surgery. I put it off about 4 or 5 months, and then the virus struck. I was going to have it done the first of this year. Then the virus happened, so you know, another 4, 5, 6 months. Uh-huh. I just had an appointment a couple of weeks ago with the gynecologist again, but this was a different one because the one that I went to initially was tied up. So anyway, she scheduled another ultrasound just to see where he were. Uh-huh. And came back that the malignant I had. Oh, let me back up. My first doctor didn't tell me. She said that it was bad, but she never told me that my left ovary had a malignant neoplasm. This was a malignant neoplasm.
Oh, dear.
She didn't tell me that. Mm. And if she had, I would have never had put off the surgery.
Of course
not. Anyway, now they tell me that it's not there. The cyst is not there anymore. My question is, can a malignant neoplasm cyst on the ovary just disappear? And if it does, where does it go?
Wow. So you said you had some abnormal spotting a couple of times. Has that
stopped? Yeah, about a year and a half ago. That's what that's the reason why I went to the doctor.
Okay.
But
has that stopped?
This is one time.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, how old are you, ma'am?
78.
Okay. So, you know, spotting at your age, have you been on estrogens or any hormone replacement therapy? Okay. So, you know,
I had a thyroid removed and I'm on levothyrax.
All right. That shouldn't do it. So, you know, at your age, vaginal spotting is always worrisome. We worry about cervical cancers. We worry about endometrial cancers.
Mm-hmm.
I would be surprised if an ovarian cyst of any sort caused vaginal spotting. So this is usually something lower than that, cervix or in the vagina. So what did they do to look at your cervix and vagina, or your uterus? Did they
did
endoscopy
Well, they did a cervical ultrasound.
Ultrasound, okay.
Yeah, I had it done a year and a half ago, and then I had it done again. With my appointment was about a week and a half ago.
Uh-huh.
They did cervical ultrasound, and that's when they told me that this cyst had they couldn't see it, that it had dissolved.
Okay.
I never heard of such a thing. I was very confused and so on, but my doctor is on vacation, so I haven't had a chance to talk to her to get an explanation as to what. So my question to you is it common for a malignant cyst to just disappear?
Not a malignant cyst. You know, benign cysts are very common, especially in young reproductive age women. They're pretty rare at your age, though. So any cyst on your ovaries at 78 years old, you know, raise my eyebrows and make me want to say, what the heck is going on? In a 25-year-old, not a big deal. They come and go all the time. We don't worry about them, especially, unless they're causing pain or bleeding. But I'm very curious about this, the phrase malignant neoplasm.
Yeah,
because without a biopsy, without some tissue, it would be pretty difficult to make a diagnosis of a malignancy on an ovary.
Dr. Tyler,
maybe
when I went to a year and a half ago, she did do a biopsy.
Yeah, okay.
But my question is, she never told me. She was very concerned. And that's why she said, well, I'm going to let's do surgery right away. But she never told me the seriousness. I mean, she never mentioned a malignant neoplasm.
And this was a biopsy of the ovary? I mean, they actually went into your abdomen and got a piece of ovary out?
Yes. Inserted, whatever, the instrument, and they did the exam, the inner exam, and she clipped, got a little biopsy, and then she ordered an ultrasound. Now, that was Dr. Tyler, the first gynecologist I went to. And so she had, her suggestion was to have surgery right away. That's what she said. She didn't tell me, she said it was bad, especially the left one, but never mentioned anything about possible cancer.
Okay.
So I got so many things going on with my back and everything, and I was trying to determine which one I should take care of first. So I put the surgery for the ovaries off for about 4 or 5 months to get a lot of things that was going on with me to get that taken care of. But I would never have done that
You need to get back to your gynecologist.
Yeah.
Have them pull those old records, the pathology reports from the previous biopsies, and get some clarity. Find out exactly what's really going on.
Yeah.
Because the two exams are not consistent with one another. So
find out where the malignancy is. Is it in the endometrium? Is it in the cervix? Or is it in the ovary? Because the treatment for all of them is different.
Very different.
And if it is ovarian cancer, then you do want to get it treated right away.
Yes. Because cervical cancers are relatively easy to treat most of the time. Endometrial cancers are tougher than cervical, and ovarian are the toughest of all. So finding out exactly where that biopsy was taken from, exactly what kind of tumor it is, and the location is critical. So, get back into the gynecologist, make an extended appointment. Tell them you want all of the records pulled together. You want them to look at the old records, the most recent ones, and sit down and explain to you exactly what's going on and what a treatment plan would be. Okay? This is your life. You're entitled to it. And, make sure that people give you the time necessary so that you understand what's happening.
Mm-hmm. And there you go. And Lois, I'm afraid we got to go. We're out of time. 2 hours of Leading Edge Medicine just is gone. However, as I mentioned earlier, if you go to our website, lmclinic.com, push the podcast button at the top of the page, you'll see where we are for the next 2 hours, 10 to noon. And we'd love to have you tune in there. Again, go to lmclinic.com, podcast button. You'll find us for the next 2 hours. lmclinic.com is also where you go if you want to make a free health analysis appointment. And for goodness sakes, I know you do. Go ahead and do it. It's your first step. It's really possible to feel and function better this next year than you did 5, 10, even 20 years ago. LMClinic.com. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Amerigroup Washington and the Washington chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics want to remind you that while we may not have a vaccine for COVID-19 yet, we do have vaccines to protect children from many other serious diseases. Delaying or missing these vaccines could put your child, your family, and your community at risk. Talk with your child's doctor, nurse, or clinic about the immunizations your child needs to stay healthy. Do your part. Stay safe, stay healthy, stay vaccinated.